Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thanks be to God for his holy and inspired word. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God had a plan to bring his people, the nation of Israel, out of slavery in Egypt. Moses is God's answer to who will lead his people out of Egypt. However, Moses does not want to be a part of that plan. He wasn't prepared to do what God asked, so he came up with reasons to show that this wasn't a good idea. Moses' first excuse was, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Who am I is a question of identity. He means, I am a nobody. I'm just a shepherd. How can I do this? The question, who am I, reveals the wrong placement of his trust. Moses had his eyes on himself. He is thinking that to accomplish this feat, he would need a name, a position, or status before he could convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. But Moses was wrong. The Lord's answer is, I will be with you. That is a promise, not only to Moses, but to you and I. We need to place our confidence in God, not ourselves. Moses is nothing in of himself to pull this off. Without God, he is not able to do this. But with God, he is everything God wants him to be. He can challenge Pharaoh, not because he is great, but because the God with him is great. When God calls, he is calling us to put our trust in him, not ourselves. Do we really trust God, or are we depending on our own strength? Moses' next excuse was, well, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Who God is a question of credibility. Who do you represent? Who asked you to come? And by what authority are you here telling us what we should do? The Lord says, I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent me to you. And God assures Moses they will listen. Moses' third excuse is, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? What if is a question of faith. What if it does not work? What if they don't believe me? What if they don't like what I say? There is no end to what ifs. God has already told Moses that the elders would listen to him. Moses wasn't listening. Do we listen? Do we hear what God says? Moses still isn't sure and comes up with yet another excuse. Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. I am not good enough is a question of ability. Does that sound familiar? We always like to compare, and we lack confidence, thinking, there are so many people out there better than me. God said that Aaron could speak better, but he wanted Moses. God knew that Moses could do this job through him. God told Moses that he would help him speak and teach him what to say. Moses had been giving God excuse after excuse, and God gave him assurances again and again. Finally, Moses stopped giving excuses and gave him something far worse than an excuse. He just said, "Oh Lord, please send somebody else." God is not angry with Moses for his doubts, but he is angry for his stubbornness, despite all the assurances that God gave him. Moses had been focusing too much on himself. It is never about us. When we focus on ourselves, we have the tendency to put our confidence in our own abilities. God wants us to trust him and what he can and will do through us. We see throughout the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments, God calling his people to carry out his plans. So what about us here and now? Nothing has changed. God is still calling his people to accomplish his plans. And God calls us to use our spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, our God-given ability, enables a believer to serve the body of Christ. It is a gift for you as a believer. It is not something you can earn or apply for. Spiritual gifts give God's people the ability to effectively serve others, the church, and his kingdom. People also have natural talents, and while both talents and spiritual gifts are to be used for God's glory, there is a difference. While most people are born with certain talents or abilities, only believers receive spiritual gifts. You are a believer if you confess to God that you are a sinner, ask for forgiveness, that you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. An example of talents versus spiritual gifts would be, someone might be a naturally talented storyteller, but that's not a spiritual gift. However, God may give that person the gift of teaching, where they can use their gift or their talent as a storyteller. Some people may doubt that they have a spiritual gift and see no place where they can effectively serve Christ. In 1 Peter we see, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Each believer receives at least one gift, some more than one. If you aren't sure what your spiritual gift is, or if you know, but you're not quite sure how to use it, pray about it. But you can also talk with pastor or one of the elders. What are spiritual gifts? We find the spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, verses 8 to 10, 28 to 30, Romans 12, verses 3 to 8, and Ephesians 4, verse 11. They are leadership, the gift of providing leadership, organization, and guidance within the church. Teaching, those who are skilled in explaining and sharing God's word. Knowledge, special insight and knowledge of God's word and his will. Wisdom, a deep understanding of God's truth and the ability to apply it practically to life situations. Faith, all believers possess some measure of faith. Those with a spiritual gift have a strong confidence in God, trusting God and his promises in extraordinary circumstances. Service, to serve others selflessly and to meet practical needs within the church. Mercy, the gift of showing compassion, empathy, and kindness to those who are suffering or in distress. Giving, the ability to give cheerfully, often contributing resources for the benefit of the church and those in need. Hospitality, making people feel welcome, appreciated, and wanted. Tongues, believers with the ability to speak in unknown languages. Interpretation of tongues, those who can interpret messages spoken in tongues. Shepherding, leaders who provide spiritual care and guidance to the church. Apostles, those sent forth with a specific commission to establish and build up the church. Prophecy, those who receive divine revelations and communicate God's message. Evangelism, those who proclaim the gospel and lead others to Christ. We all serve God in different ways using our gifts. Paul compares the church to the body. The body has many parts. Their hands, feet, legs, arms, eyes, ears, etc. The parts all work together so the body can function. The church is like a body. Christ is the head, and we are the body, which is made up of many parts. That's why there are so many different gifts. Each part of the body fulfills a particular role. Your spiritual gift is given to you to enable you to fulfill your God-given role in the body of Christ. We are to work together in unity and love so the church can grow, be strong, and share the gospel. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "If I have all the gifts, but do not have love, I am nothing." It is important when we are using our spiritual gifts to serve others in the church that we do it with love. God knew what he was doing when he made each one of us, and he has given each one of us specific gifts for his will and purpose. Think of your spiritual gift as a personal job description from God. And when you use your gift, you fulfill God's will for you. We are not to feel as if our gift or gifts are less or more significant than each other's. Each spiritual gift is equal in God's eyes, and so it should be in our eyes also. Someone on the welcoming committee assembles the welcome bags so they are ready to go when someone new comes through the door. using her gift of hospitality, is equal in importance as pastor standing up here leading you in worship, teaching you in Bible study. There are people on our worship committee who take care of details to enhance our worship services. Using their gifts of service is equally as important as the Sunday school teachers or as the people standing greeting people as they come through the door to make them feel welcome. All gifts are equal. We have to be careful not to let pride enter into this. It would be easy to say to ourselves, well, my gift's better than so-and-so, or how come they have a better gift? I do a better job using my gift. Or, at least I use my gift, but I don't see so-and-so using any gifts in church. You won't always see others using their gifts. Maybe someone is using their gift of giving to provide monetary or material resources for the church. There are some who use their gift visiting those who are shut in nursing homes or unable to get to church. Some gifts put us in the spotlight for all to see. Other gifts have us working behind the scenes. Using our gifts is not about us. It is for God's glory. Always remember that our focus needs to be on God, not the gift. Spiritual gifts are not meant to draw attention to ourselves. God gives them so that we can bless and serve others. We are to be stewards of the gifts God has given us. Christian stewardship is the obligation of Christians to manage and use the gifts that God has given. And we should watch for opportunities to use our gifts to bless and encourage others. We have a women's Bible study because Heidi stepped out in faith and answered God's call. She's using her spiritual gifts to lead the women's Bible study. And we are learning God's word, growing in faith, and share a wonderful time of fellowship. So what about us when God calls us? Well, as we saw with Moses, sometimes we tend to give excuses as to why we shouldn't say yes when God calls. About a year and a half ago, Ruth and I were in a conversation about the need for another Sunday school class that would bridge the youngest class to the oldest class. And after that conversation, I was thinking, maybe I should teach. But I also had a lot of excuses. Been there, done that. Too old. And I want to be in church. I was acting just like Moses. Well, Ruth did ask me to teach that class, just till she found a permanent teacher. I said, okay, it's temporary. I can do this. Well, as we've seen many times in the Bible, God has answers for our excuses. And this was no exception. Been there, done that? That just means you're experienced, you're qualified for the job. So much for that excuse. Well, it turned out that I really did like teaching. And I told Ruth I would teach the class. However, we still had some excuses to deal with. I really wanted to be in church. Well, since Drury and I taught Sunday school and vacation Bible school when our kids were little at another church, I asked her if she would co-teach with me. And her answer was yes. She didn't have excuses. We each teach 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, which allows us to be in church part-time. And God has provided a way for our worship services to be on Facebook, so we can watch the service we miss while we're teaching. God provided and took care of that excuse. As for being too old, God showed me that's not the case. And I love teaching my class, our class. And I love working with Drew. And it just turned out to be a total blessing. I mean, working with those children and watching them learn God's word is just amazing. Little did I know, but God knew that's what I needed to be doing. I would have had the wrong answer. Always believe and trust that when God calls you, he will equip you, he will provide, and he enables. He will never call you and leave you out there on your own. He is always, always, always with you. He is with you every minute of every day and every night. That is a promise, and God keeps his promises. You are special. God created you, and he gave you specific spiritual gifts to fulfill his plan. You alone can do the work that he set aside for you. Think about this for a minute. God chose you. Not the person sitting next to you. He chose you to give you a specific spiritual gift to do the work that he set aside for you. Think about that. How awesome is that? To me, that's just so awesome that God is choosing this for me and picking a gift for me and giving me a way to use it. I think that's just awesome. And it's a game changer. I mean, us here, out of all of this, and he's choosing you. It's a game changer for me. It changes the way I respond to God's call, no more excuses, and how I use my gifts with even more love and joy. Don't let doubt, pride, insecurities, resentment, or any other excuse block your path to answering God's call. You are a part of the body of Christ with a specific purpose. You are on assignment from God. Live your assignment and steward your gifts, aspiring to be the very best that you can be for God's glory. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your enduring and steadfast love, a love so great that you sent your Son Jesus to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. We are humbled knowing that you have given us spiritual gifts chosen just for us, for a specific purpose. Remind us that we are to use our gifts to serve others and to give you the glory. Help us to work together as the body of Christ in love and unity. Lord, we lift up to you all who are in need of your strength, your courage, comfort, and healing. We lift their names up to you now in the presence of your people. Heavenly Father, grant all of those in need your healing and peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Help them to be focused on you and to feel your presence, knowing that you are with them always. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The choir will now sing our benediction.